I'm Mark Purcell, and this is the Book Club at 91.7 at WVXU and WMUB. On the phone with me from London is James Bone, former New York Bureau Chief of the Times of London and author of the new book, The Curse of Beauty, The Scandalous and Tragic Life of Audrey Munson, America's First Supermodel. It's an extraordinary tale, and I imagine that after you hear what James has to say, you'll agree with me in saying, why have I not heard of this woman before? James Bone, welcome to the Book Club at 91.7.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to join you and your listeners.
So, such a fantastic personality here in Audrey Munson, who was born in 1891 and did most of her work early in the 20th century, has left a lasting legacy but has been lost to history. I'm just curious, James, how you were introduced to Audrey Munson.
Well, I was for 22 years the New York correspondent of the Times of London, which is the original Times newspaper. All the other Times are named after the Times of London.
Mm-hmm.
And I covered New York City. I'm an adopted New Yorker and a naturalized American, despite my funny accent. And I covered New York City every day, 6 days a week, because we had Saturday off because we had a sister paper on Sunday, for 22 years, writing the best stories in New York. And I thought I knew New York. And then one day in a restaurant, a friend of mine who lived near me downtown Manhattan showed me on her cell phone a photograph of a statue, a gilded statue, and said, do you know what that is? And I had to admit I didn't know what that was. And that was the second largest statue in New York City after the Statue of Liberty. And the Statue of Liberty is pretty big. It's hard to beat Lady Liberty in size. And the second largest statue is 25-foot-high figure of Audrey Munson as civic fame. It's on top of the municipal building above the Brooklyn Bridge subway station opposite City Hall, and it's where all the city workers still work. It was once the largest office building in the world when it was built, and Audrey Munson posed for that statue. So my friend said, you know, you should look at the story behind this statue because there are all kinds of extraordinary things. There wasn't that much known about Audrey Munson at that point, but there was enough known. For instance, the fact that after being America's favorite artist model and the first naked movie star in American history, the first leading lady to go naked on screen in 1915 in the film called Inspiration, she was then committed to a lunatic asylum and spent 65 years living in a lunatic asylum until she died in 1996 at the age of 104. So just that information was enough to get me interested. And then I learned of all the other statues around New York City. There are a dozen very famous statues around New York City that Audrey Munson was the model for. She was the model for the naked woman Pomona out in the Pulitzer Fountain outside the Plaza Hotel on 59th and 5th Avenue. She's on the main monument in Columbus Circle at the other south corner of Central Park. She's above the entrance to the Frick Collection. She's on the New York Public Library. She's the model for the Strauss Memorial for the Titanic, 105th Street and West End Avenue. She's just all over. She's outside the Brooklyn Museum. So I started researching her and discovered that she was also in many statues all around America. She's in Jacksonville, Florida. She's in Atlanta, Georgia. She's in Madison, Wisconsin. She's in Washington, D.C. She's in Cambridge, Massachusetts. She's in San Francisco, California. She's just all over the place. And I had never really thought about all these statues that we pass every day. And this really pulled me up short because I realized that once you knew Audrey Munson's story, you can't see New York the same way again. And I'd lived there and covered it day by day for such a long time, and I thought I knew the place, and suddenly my whole experience of the city changed because I knew this story. And the same is true for people who know the statues in these other cities, where they just pass by these statues without thinking about them and looking at them. And so that idea that just by looking around us we can discover this amazing story really caught me. And I decided that I could do a proper job, because nobody had done a proper job of investigating Audrey Munson's life. And so that's what I did.
Speaking with James Bone, the author of The Curse of Beauty, The Scandalous and Tragic Life of Audrey Munson, America's First Supermodel. And it's not that these cities sought out Audrey. It was the artist who sought out Audrey, and that's how her statues spread across the country.
That's right. Well, she came to New York City as a chorus girl. She was the only child of a first marriage. Her father started a second family, and the second family basically spurned her. Her mother, who was a divorced and poor woman, single mother, brought her to the city as her meal ticket, really, to be a chorus girl. And she was a chorus girl, but one day they were walking along Fifth Avenue, looking at the stores, which is still something people do today, although the stores are a bit further south down Fifth Avenue than they are now. And she couldn't afford anything, but they would dream about what they would wear if they could afford it. And the mother noticed a strange man following her daughter, her 17-year-old daughter, actually, along the street. And they darted into a shop to shake him, but he waited outside. So finally, the mother went out to confront him and said, "Well, why are you ogling my daughter?" And he was very polite. He doffed his cap and he said, "Well, I'm sorry, but I'm a photographer." Now, these days in New York, if you said to somebody, "I'm following your daughter because I'm a photographer," you'd probably run a mile. And as far as I can see, about three-quarters of the New York population are photographers these days, and those who aren't, they're always taking selfies on their cell phones. But in those days, and we're talking 1909 here, being a photographer was a new thing. And this man, who I was able to identify for the first time as Felix Benedict Herzog, was actually a well-known photographer in the early days of American photography, and had been an associate of Stieglitz, who's the father of American modern photography, but then went a different direction from him when Stieglitz went off and formed his secession, his photo secession. Felix Benedict Herzog stayed behind and ran the establishment camera club. But he was the man who discovered Audrey Munson on the street when she was 17 years old. And he, because he was very well connected in the art world, he introduced her to all the artists in the art scene. And the art scene was focused on Greenwich Village, but there was an outpost up where Felix Benedict Herzog had his studio at Lincoln Square, which lives on today because that area has Lincoln Center now. And that originally was an art area, and it eventually was developed as Lincoln Center. So Audrey Munson was taken up by the artists, and particularly the sculptors. And the sculptors had this classical ideal of what beauty was. And Audrey Munson just fit the bill perfectly. She looked like the Venus de Milo. She looked like an American Venus, is what people said. And she was tall, 5'8", tall now even for a woman, and tall then even more for a woman. And she had a long, straight, classical nose, perfectly proportioned. And so she became the artist model of choice. And she lives on in all these statues around the world, around America, in bronze, in granite, in marble, in gold even. But she also posed for artists of many art forms. She was in book illustrations, in tapestries, in murals. In the 1915 World's Fair in San Francisco, she was three-quarters of the artworks in that World's Fair. They built a jewel city by the bay. She was even in murals in the salon of a paddle steamer on the Great Lakes that used to go between Detroit and Buffalo. So she really was very prolific. She said that she had posed for 200 artists in her career, and that's because she would go into these studio buildings and she would go door to door like a saleswoman. Her mother used to sell corsets door to door. She did the same thing as an artist model. She would knock on the artist door and say, "Do you need a model today?" And that's why she posed for so many artists.
The other thing that made her unique, and especially for that time, was her willingness to pose in the nude. And when you talk about the classical proportions, you discuss in the book how all these different artists, whether sculptors or painters or photographers, all had a part of her body that they really appreciated.
That's right. And obviously there were some parts that were very obvious, but there are other parts that we never think about, and Audrey Munson herself didn't even know. And one of those was her dimples. She was very appreciated for her dimples, and she didn't know what people meant by her dimples. And then an artist explained to her that she had dimples in the small of her back, and the artist said that sculptors since ancient times have been looking for models with dimples in the small of their back. And that is something that stayed with Audrey Munson. And I actually spoke to a nurse who used to bathe Audrey Munson when she was in her late 90s in the lunatic asylum where she eventually died. And once when she was bathing her, she noticed she had dimples in her back. And Audrey Munson was very proud of those dimples and said, "Yes, I mustn't ever lose those dimples." You know, incredibly, even at the age of 90-something, she was proud of those dimples in the small of her back.
I'm speaking with James Bone. He is the author of The Curse of Beauty, The Scandalous and Tragic Life of Audrey Munson, America's First Supermodel. Learn more at our website, wvxu.org. James, with all these accomplishments, with all these lasting legacies still perched on the top of buildings or in parks or in fountains or in museums, Audrey Munson, why did she disappear? I mean, you did mention 65 years in a lunatic asylum, but is there another reason that we have not heard more about her?
Well, I think there are a combination of reasons. One is that she fell out with the in crowd at her time. As she became more mentally unstable, her relationship deteriorated with the wealthy crowd at the time, and also she sued a very powerful theatre producer. She sued a man who was basically agent for her in the movie business, so she fell out with all her business contacts. As she became more paranoid, she was quite paranoid as one of the symptoms of her instability. And another thing was just cultural, that she was the artist model of choice in the Gilded Age, in the Beaux-Arts building boom in New York. And that style, that French-inspired style, demanded sculptures of goddesses and allegorical figures of women on all the new buildings that were put up. They had the City Beautiful movement that aspired to build beautiful neoclassical and French-style buildings in these slum-ridden cities. And when modernism arrived around the time of the Great War, the First World War, all of that changed. The whole idea of doing art from models disappeared. Beauty became a dirty word. And so the whole culture changed. She was the last generation before modernism. And the artists that she posed for, who were very, very famous artists at the time, they also aren't remembered today, because we have this heroic narrative of modernism, and anybody who was pre-modernist is just forgotten.
Well, I had to laugh at the one section of the book, James, where you talk about her meeting one of the modernist authors. Was it a Cuban-French artist, as I recall?
Francis Picabia was the first ever modern artist to come to America. He came from Paris in 1913 for the Armory show in the Armory on Lexington Avenue and 26th Street, which is still there. And that was the show that introduced European modern art to America. And there was a really interesting encounter I was able to discover between Audrey Munson, who represented the old style, and Francis Picabia, who represented the brand new style. And she went to pose for him, and he wouldn't let her stand still. He wanted her to dance around the studio the whole time, because he wasn't interested in painting her. He painted an abstract painting about motion and dance. And so you can't recognize her, of course. It's an abstract painting, but you have her motion there. So that's what I mean about the whole idea of art changed at exactly that time. And that encounter between Audrey Munson and Francis Picabia in 1913 is really the moment of the change, the tipping point between the two styles.
Well, I love how you said, Audrey said, it was nothing but a bunch of squares and circles on a page.
So, I think she called it splotches of color.
Splotches of color. Well, a fascinating story, James. Thank you for bringing Audrey Munson to our attention.
Oh, thank you. It's my pleasure.
James Bone. His book is The Curse of Beauty, The Scandalous and Tragic Life of Audrey Munson, America's First Supermodel, available where books are sold and in libraries. You can learn more about it at wvxu.org. And it is a tantalizing tale of a woman whose beauty continues to persist through this day. I think you'll find it very interesting. This is The Book Club at 91.7.